of that.
No, you have lots of those.
Oh, it's all right, boys. Oh, sorry. Go to get an extra.
I'm sure Yo-Yo has been telling his players from halftime, we've got our attack, we've got our attack. Just a few minutes left in this huge, huge match. A lot of players playing for the first time in an international match. Both teams doing the self-product. It's a goal from Hong Kong! And you can see it's that man, Mr. Yo-Yo. He shoots it across, he takes a deflection of one of the Singapore players, and bang, it's into the goal. Off camera, Hong Kong have got one back. Just a few seconds left. It's almost over. The final whistle is going, it's all over now. One last shot. It's finished. Singapore have won! Yes!
Hello and welcome to the amazing world of unicycle hockey, an international sport since the early 1990s. And this week I am talking to one of the legends behind this sport, Mr. Joachim Yo-Yo Muhlmeier. Playing unicycle hockey is probably one of the best ways for any entertainer, i.e. me, to improve his or her unicycling skills. But first, a word from one of our wonderful sponsors, Unicycle.com China. Riding a unicycle is amazing fun, and is not as hard as you imagine. It is great for overall fitness, and if you are a performer, it can enhance all your shows. Listen to these three phrases. Unicycle.com China, also known as unicycle-china.cn, and shop 48528101050.taobao.com. That's TAOBAO.com. Because the best place to get a unicycle is at unicycle.com. If you are in Hong Kong or in Taiwan, it is so convenient to use unicycle.com China's online Taobao store. Because the freight is so much cheaper. I ordered a new unicycle seat and the seat post from unicycle.com China's Taobao store, and the shipping was practically free. Wow, these people really know their stuff and offer the best unicycle deals in the world. Unicycle.com China can even send you specific items that you can't find on their website. Just ask for Alex at unicycle.com China. So go there right now and get yourself a unicycle. The links are in the description. Unicycling, it feels like you are flying.
I mean, you probably don't know it, but you changed my whole life.
Did I?
Yeah, because picture this. In the very early 1990s, I wasn't into unicycling. I was dressed in a patchwork costume of multi colours and tie dye, and I had lots of various clown makeup on, even when I went to my university lectures and tutorials, and I had my hair tied up on my head with some scrunchies, so it almost looked like I had a desert island with a palm tree on my head. I was influenced by the Cirque du Soleil, the early Cirque du Soleil. And I was influenced by the kind of the New Age traveling, juggling groups, because I was president of the juggling club. And then 6 months later, I looked totally different. I had black shorts, black t-shirt, black peak cap. I had cycling gloves on my hands. I was wearing high top black trainers to protect my ankles from the cranks, because I'd learned how to ride a unicycle. And I was trying to find out as much as I could about unicycle hockey.
Yes.
And I was in Oxford, and there wasn't really any internet. It was just beginning, so there wasn't really any internet. And we knew there was unicycle hockey, and I don't know where it came from, but maybe at a juggling convention where they had a unicycle hockey match in the corner, someone gave me a little photocopied booklet of the official rules of unicycle hockey.
I still have that.
And It had somewhere in it had the words Lahimo, which I didn't know what that was. But the next, you've got a jumper with it on. So we'll take a photo of that. So yep. I had graffiti in my, I had graffiti that I drew in my student room on my books, on my diary, student diary. It had a Lahimo and it had unicyclists playing hockey. It was just, I was really, really into it. Mm-hmm. And, well, Lahimo is pretty much the first ever unicycle hockey club. And you were there as one of the starters.
Not really starters, I came a bit later.
A bit later.
I started unicycle hockey around 1987, 1988.
Yeah.
Lahimo was at that time the only unicycle hockey club worldwide. It is, and the name Lahimo is because of the founders from came from three neighboring cities,
yeah.
Which is La for Langenfeld, He for Hilden, and Mo for Monheim. This is all near near Düsseldorf, near Cologne.
Mm. Well,
and this was the only club worldwide. I joined them, as I said, in the 87s, yeah, and because it was close to my hometown.
Wow.
And in the early, around
1990,
we started to spread unicycle hockey out.
Mm. Mm. Yeah.
So with the juggling conventions in the European juggling conventions,
yeah.
in Bradford, in Oxford, in Maastricht.
Yes.
These were at that time the juggling conventions. There, of course, some unicyclists being there, they also played unicycle. We motivated them to start unicycle hockey.
Yeah, and also another, before we go into it, another strange coincidence. When I started in the very early 1990s, I had no idea who you were. I didn't know you existed. You had no idea who I was. And yet about 15 years later, we both ended up in Singapore.
2004.
And then about 10 years later after that, we both ended up in Hong Kong.
Yes.
Isn't that
weird?
Amazing.
That's amazing, yeah.
All right, let's start at the beginning. So you're Yo-Yo.
I'm Yo-Yo.
But if people want, what is your full name?
My name is Joachim Mühlmeier.
Wow, Joachim Mühlmeier.
And my first name, Joachim, you take the first letters. And so my nickname among unicyclists is Yo-Yo.
And how did you start unicycling? What was the start?
I started with juggling, especially
like
Diabolo. Mm. I was around 15 then at that time.
Mm.
And then soon I met other jugglers who were also unicyclists, and they were part of the team Lahimo.
Yeah.
And so I started to join the world's only unicycle hockey club. We played on a soccer pitch. So we started up unicycle hockey.
Right. So, who wrote the rules? Where did you? Because unicycle hockey, I've checked some of the history, and there's a 1925 video of a couple of vaudeville performers knocking up something around, and they're riding unicycles, and they've got some sort of field hockey sticks. And then in 1971, there's a photo of some Japanese people playing some sort of unicycle hockey. In 1960, in Albuquerque in America, they had a unicycle club, and they listed as one of their activities, had unicycle basketball, unicycle this. They said, oh, we'll do unicycle hockey as well. And then in 1988... in England, in Covent Garden in London, they had sort of a unicycle hockey match. But I think hardly anybody had ice hockey sticks. We had broomsticks or whatever. So for me, I got these rules. I said I got this photocopy page of little booklet of rules, and it was like, oh, this is, looks interesting. The pitch looks similar to the dimensions and the style of an ice hockey pitch, and that you can ride behind the goals, and you have no, the ball can never go out of play really, because it bounces off the wall. It's an enclosed area. So, Do you know who came up with the idea of basing it almost around an ice hockey style of game?
So the unicycle hockey was actually invented by a Japanese, by Takafumi Okazawa.
Aha.
He's a crazy guy. He lived near Düsseldorf, exactly where this team emerged.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
And he had fun doing crazy things.
Yeah.
And so he found a few people. One of them is Mr. Rolf Sander. And Rolf put together the unicycle hockey rules.
Yeah. Mm.
He was also already in the club when I joined.
Yes.
Lahimo. And he was also very much active in promoting the club.
That's amazing.
Sports.
Yeah, the 1971 photo from Japan shows Takafumi.
Yeah.
There. So he went to Germany.
He went to Germany and brought it over and found a few other crazy people.
Yeah.
And there he.
Then Rolf actually writes this first rule book.
Rolf was compiling it. Yeah.
Mm.
It has some ideas from ice hockey.
Yeah. Mm.
But of course amended to its unicycle hockey. We don't play on the ice, but on a hard surface.
Yeah.
Mm. There is no body check allowed.
Yes, and, who came up with the no contact?
It's the safety rules.
Safety
there are a couple of safety rules which are the most important rules.
Mm.
For example, that no body check or the stick in bike or the stick under bike is not allowed because it can be dangerous, and also lifting the stick above the saddle line is also dangerous because faces of people are there.
Yeah, okay. So you're playing it in Germany,
yeah.
And at that time in Europe there were many big European juggling conventions.
Mm-hmm.
So you start going to the juggling conventions and promoting it there.
Well, actually we promoted it and because it was fun for us.
Yes.
Yeah? I think one of the next clubs which emerged is Radlos near Frankfurt.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
Actually, for my studies, I moved to Frankfurt area. Mm-hmm. And being there, it was in 1991.
Yeah.
I wanted to continue unicycle hockey, so I found a few people.
Mm.
It happened that Rolf also moved to Mainz, which is not too far from Frankfurt. And in May 91, we found 7 people who had the first unicycle hockey game near Frankfurt.
1991.
Mm. And and then we, of course, we had regular meets and. And also then we found a gym and to play in, and over the time in the near Frankfurt area there were some other teams popping up from people because we promoted it also in the neighborhoods.
Yes. Yeah?
And so this was another mushrooming of unicycle hockey clubs in that area.
Was it important to get non-marking tires playing in those gyms in Germany?
In some of the gyms, yeah.
Yeah.
We started also there in an open soccer pitch, found a gym linked to the university, and we played there. And over the time, there were actually in Germany there more and more clubs coming up. As I said, in the late 80s, there was only Lahimo, then we had Radlos near Frankfurt, and then there were also other clubs near Mefelden or in Bochum coming up. Also in the area where juggling convention took place, because there was an overlap of people who were jugglers and unicyclists.
So how did you make your goals? When I started in Oxford, I got some plumber's piping, and I got garden netting, and I had safety pins. There's a Radlos t-shirt you're showing me.
Yeah.
So I made the goal. I made my unicycle hockey goals out of plumber's piping, plastic pipes from the hardware store with garden netting and safety pins. How did you make your goals?
Well, the first goals, or when we played at Lahimo, Fumi Takafumi Ogasawara was he's into welding and engineering. So he had he prepared foldable unicycle hockey goals with steel frames. So
wow.
He was very well in that. He could put it into his vans. So very easy to transport, made for that purpose. The first games, which we had in Frankfurt, we also played some of the first games at a supermarket parking spot. So we took two shopping carts, put them on the side, and so we played on the weekend or after business hours. Used these shopping carts as goals.
What about the ball? Because the rules that you can use a plastic street hockey ball, or you can use a tennis ball that bounces to about 30 or 50% of its height. Who decided what kind of ball? How did that happen?
Well, we tried out what is safe and what is good to play.
Yeah.
And actually, the tennis ball is the best version, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Because it bounces, so there's some other dimension in the game, and it doesn't hurt too much if it hits you.
Yeah. In England, you see, when we started, we were very near a skateboard shop which sold the plastic street hockey balls. Mm-hmm. So we started with a street hockey ball, and I remember going to my first Unicon, and everybody insisted on playing on a tennis ball, and that was a bit harder of a.
That's why ball. You had your bruises.
Yeah, I had bruises from the street hockey ball. But the street hockey ball doesn't bounce as much as a tennis ball, so there are differences.
Yeah. So then we started with the German league, the German unicycle hockey league.
So how on earth do you do a nationwide league when there's no money involved? You're not getting paid to do this. How do you travel around? Germany's a big place.
You have very motivated people who like the sports, and that's the key.
Did you actually have a because? I tried to organise. I did organise the first British Unicycle Hockey League, and I had no idea how Germany did it. I just said, "Well, what we'll do is we'll gather everybody in one spot, as many teams who can turn up as possible at that weekend. Let's say in my home city, Oxford, and we'll have a tournament and we'll award points. And we pretty soon realised that the same teams used to win each tournament, and some teams would travel all the way, hundreds of miles, to turn up." And wouldn't even get a point because they wouldn't win a match. Mm. So then we decided, okay, if you turn up, you're going to get a point just for turning up, even if you don't win anything.
Yep.
And that was our version, because we couldn't play like an English or a Premier League or a German soccer league where you just have one club goes to one club and plays, and one club goes to another club and plays there. We had little mini tournaments. Throughout the year.
It's actually done in Germany, in the German league, the same.
Yeah.
That you have tournaments. And each team carries a number of points, depending on their strengths.
Yeah.
And all these points of the teams that participate on that weekend tournament, they are to be distributed as additional points. So if you have a team of you have 10 teams joining,
yeah. The
first teams bring 100 points, the second team 90 points, just for easy calculation.
So depending on the size of the tournament,
the more points are pooled.
Yes.
And the winner gets the most points out of it.
Oh, that's very clever.
And the loser also gets points, but the least points.
Yeah, that's a very good idea.
And then the over the year, the best five tournaments count.
Yeah.
So if you are very regularly at high-ranked tournaments, you get good points.
Yeah.
And then if you had a bad day, one tournament, but you had five other tournaments which you joined where you had better outcome, then the best five tournaments count.
Wow.
And the teams with the highest score come afterwards. We nowadays have around 50 teams in this league.
50 teams!
In Germany. Wow. So the best teams have a playoff.
Yeah.
And so they they play for the championship.
Wow. I mean, it's amazing. No one can see you, but I'm bowing down. That's just incredible. 50 teams.
Yeah. Well,
50 unicycle hockey teams.
Mm-hmm. So after my studies in Frankfurt, I moved to Switzerland, and
who introduced the sport to Switzerland? It's
I did.
Question.
I brought it over. Yeah. So same thing.
And who's the current world champions?
I actually don't know.
I think it's Switzerland. Yeah. I think they won the last Unicorn World Championships.
It was in... I moved over in 97.
Mm.
And at that time, there was no unicycle hockey in Switzerland.
Right.
They had unicycle races.
Mm. Mm.
And same pattern like I had a couple of years before when I moved to Frankfurt. I looked for people mainly at these unicycling races. Yeah.
Yeah.
I coincidentally or not had hockey sticks with me. I had a hockey ball. I had this booklet of rules because Swiss people appreciate regulations rules. And so I motivated people to just try it out.
Wow.
And then we founded the first club in Ostschweiz, in the northeastern part of Switzerland, and started to organize unicycle hockey games, friendly matches, or later tournaments.
Yeah.
And at the unicycle races, we always found some niche and time to do also matches for motivating people.
Mm.
And later on, also Switzerland had their tournament types.
Wow. I mean, and Germany and Switzerland are pretty much the superpowers in international unicycle hockey.
Yeah, they're playing
well. Yeah. There was a first world championships at the Unicorn in 1994 in Minneapolis. That's the first time unicycle hockey was at a Unicorn.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know who took it there. Someone must have taken it there.
Mm-hmm.
Probably someone from Germany.
Probably, yeah. At that time, 1994, of course, Lahimo was very big there. Radlos had also already been established since 4 years. And
right.
Bochum was also be there, Mafelden. So there are some good German clusters.
Yes.
Who bought it over.
Did you ever meet John Dash from the UK?
I met him at one of the match, but we didn't have a big contact.
Yeah, because he played unicycle hockey in Germany in about 1988, actually, according to my internet research.
Okay. Mm.
And then he was the first person to one of the first people to bring it back to England, and he had a friend called Lee Jellyhead Rickler, who I know pretty well, and they began trying to do promoting unicycle hockey in the UK. Wow.
Yeah. At that time, so in 93, there was the first Eurocycle organized by Lahimo in Langenfeld, Düsseldorf.
So a Eurocycle is a unicycle convention
In Europe.
In Europe, yeah.
And in 1994. We organized the same, the follow-up, the second Eurocycle in Frankfurt.
Yeah, for those of you who are just listening to the audio, you can pop over to my website and there'll be a YouTube video with photos of all these historic unicycle T-shirts from the various conventions and championships.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So you're in Switzerland, you bring it there, you're just promoting it worldwide, you are... What's the word I'm looking for?
It's a missionary word.
It's a missionary. Yeah, you're like a missionary.
Yeah, that's a kind of
going
mission.
Around the world promoting unicycle hockey.
Actually, I left Switzerland, and here's the Swiss flag, where many of the unicyclists thanked me for bringing it over. It was this flag was given to me in September 2001.
Oh wow!
And I still have it.
This is wonderful. He's holding up a Swiss flag with masses of signatures from the various unicycle hockey players.
Yeah. So that was my missionary time in Switzerland.
That was your Switzerland. So you sorted out Switzerland, and then it was the rest of the world.
Yeah, then I first moved back to Germany, but in 2004 I moved to Singapore, and that was actually what Ben mentioned in the beginning, that we years later met in Singapore.
Yeah,
because this was 2004.
Yeah, because I loved unicycle hockey so much, but I was only involved for about a year and a half in England, and then I finished my studies. Travelled around, ended up in Singapore, and then for the next 6 or 7 years, I was, first of all, I was the only person in Singapore with a unicycle, so I joined a local school and ran their circus club and tried to teach them unicycling, and then there was a juggling club I helped set up, and then about the year 2000 or 2001, I finally met another couple of unicyclists in Singapore. And then we started the Singapore Unicycle Club, started playing unicycle hockey, and then about 6 months later, you appeared. So, oh, you're the guy who helped write that booklet that I had like 15 years earlier.
actually, when I went, I had a new job in Singapore, went over, and of course I wanted to play on unicycle hockey. I didn't know about the unicycle hockey players in Singapore at that time. Yeah. I went to the jugglers, and there I learned that there's a group of unicyclists.
Yeah.
When I showed up, it was great for me that they played unicycle hockey. I really longed for it. Yeah.
I know.
But I found their type of unicycle hockey is a little weird.
Okay, tell us about it.
They played on goals, but also not so well. They played with a street hockey ball or some other ball or a puck. I don't know exactly what
Maybe.
It was. I think it was a puck. Yeah. Well, not well organized the game. I speak as a German now. I think also some of the sticks were a little bit, unicycle hockey sticks were strange.
Maybe
too very wobbly.
Wobbly.
Yeah. So on one of my next trips, I bought proper unicycle hockey sticks to Singapore, and also organized a little bit the professionalism in the unicycle hockey games. And soon it was October, it must have been October 2004, we started the first friendly match with Hong Kong.
Yeah,
unicycle.
Because in 2004 there was a unicorn in Japan, which was quite close. It was in Asia. So some of us, a couple of Singaporeans, went to it. We met the Hong Kong unicyclists there, and we said to each other, let's have a match where the Hong Kong unicyclists come to Singapore and play, and then the Singapore unicyclists go to Hong Kong and play.
Yeah. So that was, at that time, it was, so my time in Singapore was rather short.
Yeah, it was.
And end of the year 2004, it was already decided that my jobs relocates to Hong Kong.
Yeah.
And doing that friendly match which we had in between Singapore and Hong Kong, we played in Hong Kong.
Yeah.
At the half time, I started to score own goals into the Singapore.
Yeah, team. I remember.
And I still remember that Ben was very upset. You can't do that.
Yeah, because you were you played for Singapore first, and then as you were moving to Hong Kong, you thought, maybe I'll swap over to the Hong Kong team half time. Is that right?
That is right. Yeah, and I still remember that all the Singaporeans were puzzled. And Ben scouted me.
Yo-yo sticks to the rules, you know. He sticks to the rules. What's he doing? He's playing for the other team.
Yeah, and since then I've been playing with Hong Kong. I had my spell back to Germany, but I'm back now to Hong Kong, and I'm still playing.
Wow, it's amazing. What a story.
Yeah, it's quite some missionary work, as I said. So I really love the sport. I've been playing since many, many years, since the late 1980s. And I think Yeah, it worked out well to motivate people playing unicycle hockey, organizing then afterwards their own things. Yeah, of course, it's not me who got to guide them, but I had very much fun finding people, building up new teams, starting up with friendly matches or with weekend tournaments, and it had some impact. And yeah,
brilliant.
There are a couple. Yeah, I think there are more than 100 teams which directly or indirectly was created.
Brilliant.
With the people I met and of course with my head.
Okay, that's brilliant. Thank you. There's some stuff I'd like to ask as well.
Yes, please.
What rule is broke? You talked about Singapore unicyclists being quite not really sticking
freestyle
to rules. Yeah, you know. So what rule is broken the most by unicycle hockey players around the world?
It's a non-contact rule. So according
to... Well, it's very tricky, you know, because the rules... What do the rules say?
The rule says that body contact is not allowed, so you cannot give a body check, but sometimes you
There's
do.
Always some... But there is a little bit of contact is sort of allowed, isn't it?
But I have to look up the exact wording.
So the no contact rule is broken the most. And I think one of the rules that's broken the most is the player with the ball has the right of way, isn't it?
Yes.
So does that mean that if you haven't got the ball and the player with the ball is coming at you and you're moving, you have to move out of the way unless you're stationary? Mm-hmm. I think that rule's broken quite a lot. I think if two players are moving and one's got the ball... Yeah, the one without the ball won't move out of the way of the
ball. There are some tricky rules which are in the moment of the play it's hard to judge who was right or who was wrong, and there are some rules like that.
Yeah. Do you like being the referee ever?
I play as a referee regularly, but I prefer more playing.
When I was just starting in England in the 1990s, I was very much, I'm in charge, I know what this is, I'm organising, I'll be the referee. I'm not like that now. Maybe I am, but if I go to a unicorn or something, I don't want to be the referee. If I'm at the Asia Pacific Unicycle Champions, I don't want to be, but I normally am.
It's quite stressful now, being
a referee.
Yeah, especially when you have some hard games between two very good teams.
And especially as
everyone knows the rules, but of course, then you need a ref. But
I know
sometimes there's so much emotion in it. Then it is
quite hard
fun.
Being the referee. Yeah, people have travelled, you know, across the world to play this game, and they really want to win. And it's hard being the referee, and especially now that I'm about 50 years old. And my eyesight's not so good. I can't always see what happened.
Okay, so you need some spectacles.
I need different kinds of glasses, yeah. do you have a favourite ever unicycle hockey match, your greatest ever match? Are there any really good ones that you remember, or any really bad ones?
No, not really, because... No, I can't.
I had some. It was the first British Unicycle Hockey Championships. My team, the Oxford City Psychos, we were playing very well in the round robin stage, and we were almost proceeding into the knockout stage, the quarterfinals, the semifinals, I think, which were going to be televised they were going to be on television, and we were winning about 10-0 at half time, and against this other team, which was a scratch team. It was just made up by people who turned up to the convention and had formed a team on the spot. But at half time, Yuri Abrahams from the Abrahams, famous Abrahams semicycle family, turned up. He said, "Oh, I'm in the scratch team as well." We were like, "Oh, no, are you really?" Because we weren't very good. We'd only been playing for about 6 months. Mm. Even though we were winning 10-0, and this guy was, you know, he was from the same Abrahams unicycle family. He was great. He was way better than us. So he, in the second half, he had almost like a one-man show where he just rode around us in circles and scored goal after goal after goal, and we lost 11-10.
So close.
We lost 11-10. So we didn't score a single goal in the second half. They scored 11, and then they went through into the television shows and the knockout stages. So yeah. that was my best and worst story.
So you could have delayed your play a little bit.
Well, I was thinking about that. What should I have done? I have an idea. Because in
just take the ball slower
yes,
when it was caught
yes.
the goal, take it slower.
Take
to
it
the,
slow,
to the
yeah.
other side.
Take things slow, just get the ball stuck in the corner. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we should have done that. Or we could have just... I have an idea, I have a theory. I don't know if anyone's ever done it. Get all of your players in front of the goal.
Possibly.
All five units. If you've got five unicycles in front of the goal, it's going to be very hard for the other team to score 11 yeah. times.
Except... Well, they're not supposed to hold the goal, so it's getting very tight.
Oh, that's another rule that's broken a lot.
That's getting very tight if you have five unicyclists
yeah.
of your team in front of the goal and not
yeah.
being an obstacle to the other unicyclist. So if you manage that, it's also a success.
Yeah. That's another rule that's often broken. No one's supposed to lean on the goal and rest on the goal, but you often see, especially beginner goalies, they have to rest on the goal.
Yeah. Well, actually, the most fun thing is when you talk to me about how I see the history is the people, how to, the teams, the group dynamics in the different teams, and the group dynamics, how when you develop this kind of sports or bring it over, try to motivate, organize with neighboring cities, the tournaments, the group dynamics are amazing. And there are still a lot of very good memories from Lahimo, very much from Radlo, from Switzerland, also Singapore and Hong Kong.
Yeah.
All these teams, the group dynamics in these teams are amazing, and it's a lot of fun. And I'm personally very thankful for having met so far so many people
yeah.
Which are good people, and it's fun to do sports with.
Oh, it's been a brilliant time. Absolutely loved it. Brilliant, Yo-Yo.
You're welcome, Ben.
My thanks to Yo-Yo for chatting with me. Unicycle hockey, I love it. Talk to you again soon. Take care, guys. Now, it's mainly just, it's like a radio program. So you don't need to look good.
I was prepared for video. That's why I missed my makeup.
Oh.